surprising name is floated to head Russia's Electoral Commission. The Kremlin cuts defense spending by the largest amount in over a decade. And Russia and Ukraine brace for the conclusion of the trial of Nadia Savchenko. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFERL, and joining me in the studio is senior RFERL editor Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Brian.
So, in what the Russian media is calling a rebranding of the Central Election Commission, human rights ombudsman Ella Pamphilova has been floated as the likely successor of Vladimir Chudov. Steve, I get the Kremlin's motivation here. They want to put a respectable, legitimate face on what's going to be clearly rigged elections come September. What I don't get is Pamphilova's motivation in taking this position. She's a respected human rights activist, and true, she does work as the Kremlin's human rights ombudsman, where she's been very outspoken. What could possibly be her motivation in taking a position where she would have to toe the line?
My best guess is that she is the kind of person who may think that she can kind of change things from the inside, or at least, make it a better process from the inside. You know, and I'm sure she has assurances if she is offered this job. I'm sure she'll have assurances, at least, on the surface, that, okay, it's going to be different this time. And, we really want to.
And she's going to believe those.
Well, I mean, I don't know, but I guess the Kremlin could argue, look, we're going into a new election. We have new things to show. And, this time we want to show how clean an election we can have. And so, I could see someone kind of going along with that or convincing themselves that's something they want to be a part of. So I think, as you say, rebranding, I think that's a good word for it, because, I mean, obviously, anyone's going to be a contrast with the magician Shurov. So I think, she may feel that she can make some kind of a change from the inside. I mean, I think she has been outspoken, as you said, and she quit the Kremlin commission at one point. But I think in general, her career has been one of, she's not exactly in the opposition. She's more of a sort of trying to shape things from the inside to some degree.
Yeah, in the Daily Vertical today, I likened her to Alexei Kudrin as one of Putin's liberal enablers, people who are basically liberal and democratic in their orientation, but yet they keep their seat on the inside, thinking they can change things. But head of the Electoral Commission, you got to toe the line in that position. You can't. She won't have the freedom of movement she had as human rights ombudsman. I would stress this is not a done deal yet. Pamphilova was one of the names Putin submitted for membership in the Human Rights Council. But almost as if on cue, the Russian media began saying she's the likely chairperson.
Right.
They had to replace Chudov. I mean, the guy became basically a national punchline.
But, exactly. Yeah. And I think, I mean, possibly. Another, purpose of putting her in there would be to actually tell United Russia, you need to be sort of on your game. You need to really do a good job. You can't rely on a Chudov to just rig the process. So, maybe it's kind of that little scare tactic motivation internally to some degree.
So to make the falsification not so obvious, rely more on administrative methods than on the outright ballot stuffing that we've seen in the last couple of elections.
Right. To tell United Russia and you need to do a better job at making this look real.
Right, right. All right, shifting to foreign affairs, the defense ministry has announced that military spending will be cut by 5%, the largest cut since Putin came to power. According to the reports, Putin's not signed off on this yet, but this is what the defense ministry is putting forward. Steve, has the finance ministry won its long battle with the so-called party of war? I mean, the finance ministry has been saying this kind of military spending can't be sustained. I never thought we'd see the defense ministry make this announcement. Again, Putin's not signed off on this yet, but what does this portend?
Well, I think, has the finance ministry won? I guess if this is happening, then maybe realism has won to some degree. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just time to kind of buckle down and realize that some cuts need to be made. I don't really know the details of sort of
No, there aren't many internal details right now. Yeah.
you know, is it possible that the ministry is putting this 5% cut, you know, out there as a way to avoid, you know, greater cuts? But I think, again, it's you know, and maybe the Kremlin is thinking, look, you know, we want to continue modernizing and improving the military, but we're going to tell Rogozin, we're going to tell the military that this can be done, you know, more cheaply. So I think that's probably that could be part of it as well.
So it could be a message to Rogozin. One way I'm not interpreting this is that Russia's going to champ down its aggressive foreign policy stance. I mean, Putin cannot afford even the perception of a foreign policy defeat right now. So they must have, if they're going to go through with this, they, as you said, they must have come to some conclusion that you can modernize the military much cheaper. And of course you could if you cut the corruption.
Right. Well, exactly. Of course, whether they're ready to do that, probably not. But yes, I think you're right. That's a good point that, you know, Putin's foreign policy, what he would cast as a successes, are a big part of his domestic, you know, the reason for his popularity or his what he's banking on as he goes into maybe the next election. So I agree. I don't think they're going to give an inch in terms of at least in terms of how they cast Russia's military actions abroad.
Right. And both, again, this and the Central Election Commission story are in their very early stages right now. We don't really know what's going to happen with the Central Election Commission. We don't really know what's going to happen with this defense cut. What we do know is that the trial of Ukrainian Air Force pilot Nadiya Savchenko, which has been going on for a while now, is set to resume Wednesday and is nearing its conclusion. And emotions are running high. The Russian embassy in Kyiv and the Ukrainian embassy in Moscow were both vandalized in respective demonstrations over the Savchenko case over the weekend. Are we nearing the end game, Stephen? What do we expect to see with some? What do we see out there?
Well, I mean, we're nearing the end game in terms of we're nearing the end of the trial. Savchenko wasn't able to deliver her final speech at the hearing last week. She may do that on Wednesday, and there may even be a verdict. So we're nearing the end of the trial, and I guess the question is, what happens after that? Is she going to be returned in some way to Ukraine through an exchange or something else, or not? And I think one reason probably that the trial was adjourned until, you know, later this week is because, you know, they don't want a woman being sentenced to 23 years in prison, you know, a few days before Women's Day. So right. Whatever's going to happen, it's going to happen after right. Women's Day. And obviously, Savchenko is trying to she's sort of upping the ante with the her final words, which were released and published widely, saying, okay, I'm going to go on a dry hunger strike. In other words, eat and drink nothing, shortly after the verdict, when the verdict comes into force. And then, you know, at that point, Russia will have a limited amount of time to
make a decision,
return me to Ukraine. Right. Because going to die, you know, shortly after
that. She said,
I'm
going back to Ukraine dead or alive.
Exactly. Yeah, powerful words. And I think it does, you know, put Russia in a position where, you know, what are they going to do? And at the same time, Savchenko said, well, I don't want to be exchanged for these two, you know, GRU operatives who were captured in Ukraine, because she says they're guilty, you know, I'm not. So, you know, it's the kind of thing, how is an exchange perceived, you know, on both sides if it happens? But on the other hand, does Russia want to make a martyr? I mean, she's already a martyr.
She's already a martyr.
Do they want to make an even bigger martyr out of this person?
No, I see Savchenko as one of what I used to call Putin's hostages. I mean, there was the case of Eston Kohver, the Estonian law enforcement official who was seized in Estonia and put on trial in Russia and convicted of espionage. There was Oleg Sentsov, the film director in Crimea, who was equally arrested in Crimea and brought to Russia on trumped up charges. And look at what happened with each of these other two cases. Kochver was convicted and then quietly exchanged. There was clearly some quiet diplomacy exchanged for a convicted Russian spy in Estonia. The Sentsov case, after the very dramatic close of his trial, remember he sang the Ukrainian national anthem after the verdict was read, that case has kind of fallen off the radar.
Right.
And these are the two basic models of what we might see with Savchenko. And I'm not sure. I don't see her going off the radar, though. I just don't see it.
No, I mean, I could see Russia kind of trying to keep dragging it out, maybe to try to get more capital out of some kind of exchange. But on the other hand, she's saying, look, I'm going to go on a serious hunger strike and you're not going to have much time.
And
to
if
make
you
a
go
decision.
On a dry hunger strike, that's like a how long can you survive in a dry
hunger strike? Well, right. I mean, she's suggesting maybe 10 days or
10
so.
10 days. Yes, it's...
But, you know, and then I think there is a difference between, you know, Sentsov and Savchenko, both from Ukraine, Kokver, Estonian. There's a little less going on
right.
in terms of, you know, as you said, these embassy kind of vandalizations or attacks. And you have possibly there may be even kind of a personal factor in terms of Sentsov made a fiery speech. Savchenko also has made a fiery speech in which she alludes, mm-hmm. suggests that Putin is an idiot. She said, mm-hmm. I hope Poroshenko can agree with a certain idiot in Russia, not naming names. But, you know, does that affect the outcome? You know, I'm not sure.
Yeah, Putin's got notoriously thin skin. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, and that's all we have time for today. So on that note, we'll wrap it up. You've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories making news in Russia. We do this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast. Joining me in the studio has been senior RFERL editor Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week. And now, as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.